that's the extension of you. That's the I was going to say the tool. The tool sounds so lack of life, but you know that feeling. That's what you're working with. And if you choose the right actors, oh, I shouldn't admit this. It makes your life so much easier. It really does, because it's. But again, but you do that in the same sense that you do everything else in directing terms. You do it by instinct.
And, so, did you work with a particular casting director?
I've worked mostly with Lynn Stallmaster, but Diane Crittenden was the casting, and she was marvelous in her assisting, particularly so with the kids in Columbus where we made the film, because she went there and she she saw thousands of kids and she culled it down. Now I grant you, I think I went. I interviewed, you know, talked to at least 1,000 also, but she had worked it down and was just tremendously helpful. And I thought the kids were just terrific in the picture. I mean, I thought there was a freshness and life to them. They were...
Is your instinct ever wrong, dead wrong? I mean, you know, you find yourself as
yes.
The wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's happened a couple of times where, you know...
Spot on.
You do something... Most of the time, when you've done that, if you look back, you can find that there was that little something deep down that was saying to you, don't do this, don't do this. But you thought, oh, I'm going to do that because it's clever, or it'll make it a little different and something, and you get caught.
Well, let's talk specifics. How about the lonely guy? Does that happen with something like that?
No, I didn't think in terms of casting, no.
Because obviously it was not a successful film.
Yeah. And depending how you mean that now. No, did you feel...
Mr. Martin is now disowning it. And I'm curious if that kind of progress in the, quote, the history of the film hurts someone like yourself. In other words, do you react to him saying, well, you know, it's a terrible movie and I'm sorry I did it?
No, that's... what should we say? Each is entitled to his opinion, even if they're wrong.
I'm wondering if a comment like that would ever preclude your working with him again.
It sounds like it would preclude him wanting to work with me again, doesn't it? Yeah. I didn't know that he felt that extreme about the film. I thought it was my own feeling, but it was that it's a good film. It's a nice film. It's not a great film, and I can understand it not being a popular success. But I didn't have the feeling. I don't feel we made a bad movie, which I gather he does. Does he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you glad you had the woman superintendent?
I'm sorry?
Teachers, are you glad you had the woman for the superintendent?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You changed the...
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why did you decide to change?
I just felt that we didn't have... I just was really thinking about women's roles. You look at it, and you usually think, okay, how's the balance of males and females or minorities? You know, your head goes that way. Or somebody strikes you and... In thinking about that superintendent, I had worked with Lee before. In fact, as a matter of fact, you know, now she's doing a lot of directing too. And when I called her, I said, Lee, we'd like you to play this part. And I said, for two reasons. I said, one, I think you'd be sensational in it, and two, I want to keep you out of directing. So, because I had seen her work, and I think she's very good at that.
Did you go with the virtually untried screenwriter? I mean, you went with young blood,
yes,
new blood.
That was the producers who did that. That was not my decision, because when I came to the project, they had already developed and written a screenplay, so that I came in on the basis of a draft of that screenplay.
Is there anything?
But they went with them. Probably easier if you ask. The Russos, yeah.
Is there anything about the nature of your substance here, your subject, that especially appeals to you or drew you to want to get involved that much?
Yes, two things, I guess. obviously the fact that it makes a comment on some of the problems in the educational system, because I think that's that in our society that is one of the major problems in terms of the future. And the other is that I liked the emotional thrust of it very much, and that is that, you know, that if you look at it emotionally, it's the story of a man, of a teacher, I guess, of a man who has given up, and how he is brought back to caring. And I think that's so important that people keep caring. It's so easy. I shouldn't say so easy, but it is easy to just look around, to see problems, and say, oh, I see how that is. Oh, I see how that is. But then you have to do something about it. You have to take that next step, and you have to get out there and do something. And so I like that about it very much.
Do you see this as a hopeful film in that sense?
Well, in that sense, very hopeful, sure.
Because otherwise it's very bleak.
Yes, it's
has to sue the school board in order to keep being
right.
A teacher, it seems a little absurd.
But the emotion, again, the emotional thrust, hopefully, that you come away with is that the character... that teacher it should give you is that you have to stay in there fighting.
It was a frightening scene where Nolte is looking out the window during class.
Yes.
And the student says, aren't we going to do anything? He says, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty bleak.
Yes, because he'd reached that point. I've, in a sense, I've dealt with that theme before, because that theme also ran through Hospital, because the George C. Scott character in that had given up as a doctor and as a human being, really, and was brought back to caring, and in the end said, you know, you got to be in there.
Would you have liked to have made a more serious film of this? It seems like it's fairly dramatic and serious conception. There's a lot of comedy, mm-hmm. music. Is that aimed at marketing it to a younger audience, or is that what you really wanted to do?
Can you tell a serious subject without resorting to comedy?
Yeah, I think you can, but you also can obviously, at least I think obviously, tell it this way. I mean, I think that's a sort of a choice in the same sense that. You know, a writer sits down to write and chooses a particular style. Now, you could choose a very serious style. You could choose a farcical style, or you can choose a mixture. And in this case, we came together. I would say, that perhaps... certainly in having an opening song, yes, I mean, I think that probably, you know, you're thinking that's what intrigues the young market today, but not in terms of the comedy, not in terms of whether you do the picture with any lightness.
In the process of the picture being made, did the balance shift toward drama or toward farce at any point?
Yeah, it does, because your pictures change, because you've got all the sort of creative juices coming together, and sometimes you find that a scene will lean a little more serious or a little more comedic.
Had the original conception been more one way or the other?
If anything, when I would say very, very slightly, we may have intended more comedy when we started. But as we worked on it, we found ourselves leaning more to the. See, it was never. I guess it. I call it. I think it's a satiric look, and so, you know, sometimes satire is funny satire, and sometimes it's. Amusing, and sometimes it's very, very painful. And I think, and I hope that a lot of what I call the in quotes laughter in this is painful laughter, where where you laugh at something, then you say, "My God, what am I laughing at? That it's that's you know somebody something is happening to somebody, or that's pointing out some aspect that's disturbing." You know.
Given that the educational system in Edmonton a few years ago wasn't quite as bleak as the one in this movie, were you genuinely surprised or shocked at the kind of things that, for instance, Mr. Russo, is it Aaron? Aaron
yes,
Russo,
or Irwin. Irwin was the teacher.
Were you shocked by some of the stories that he would tell that
yes.
Then you
mm-hmm.
dramatized?
Mm-hmm.
In what way? What was your reaction?
At first it wasn't what he was telling, because my first association with it, as I say, was reading a screenplay.
Well, did you see the screenplay as a fiction when you read it?
No, I felt the reality, but I thought that a lot of it, I thought, was, let's say, how should I say, with dramatic license extended. And then I kept finding out, no, these things happen. And in our sneak previews, once in San Francisco and once in San Diego, a person came up to me who was a teacher and went on and on, you know, about the picture and how much they loved it and how good it was. And to each of them I said, well, I said, we took a little dramatic license. They said, no, you did not. These things happen. And they...
Do you ever have anyone approach you that way on the basis of the in-laws?
No, I don't think so.
There are tsetse flies. Are
yes. I was just in South America, and I met the tsetse fly.
Two-part question. Mm. Number one, did you intentionally go for a very realistic look in the film?
Yeah, and that's one. Yeah.
Given that, yes... What relationship do you think giving something a very realistic look bears to comedy? What does that present extra problems or extra opportunities?
Well, first of all, that's the comedies that I have worked on. I have worked; they're all at least rooted in reality. Now, even the in-laws that you know, that we're making fun of, and indeed is pretty extreme. But it is rooted. I mean, it is. I'm trying to think of one of the. I couldn't do one of the crazy. In fact, I can remember once I was asked to do a particular comedy, and I said no, I just can't. It just felt so offbeat to me. I said just nothing tied together, and they kept after me. I said no. The picture came out and grossed something like, you know, $120 million or something. And my wife said, well, aren't you sorry now? I said, no. I said, I'm not, because I didn't feel it. But I said, if I had done it, they would have lost $40 million because I would have been so busy trying to make it good, you know, trying to make it rooted in reality. I would have lost what was working for it, which was a kind of zany off the wall that obviously I don't tie in with.
What was the movie?
What do I say?
It was successful.
You could tell I was avoiding it, could you?
have there been any teachers' organizations involved in this picture at any point during its filming or subsequent to the filming?
No.
And do you intend on screening it for any teachers'
yes,
organization?
I believe that there is an intention. You could check that actually with Aaron Russo, but if I'm not mistaken, there are a few that it's being shown across the country to teachers' organizations this coming week and next week. Yeah.
Do you have much to do with putting the soundtrack?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the film, seems to come in for some hard knocks. They are ineffectual. They're absorbed with mm-hmm. seemingly superficial problems. And at the end, if I understood the sequence right, Nolte is rejecting a union. Am I reading too much into that? Do you have any
yes,
feelings?
No, I don't think the intention was that he was rejecting the union, but he was rejecting. You know, he was rejecting that concept of fighting, of what the union was standing for at that moment, or at least what that particular union.
Didn't he realize the union was rejecting him?
Well, he felt they were. Yes.
Yeah. Not taking his case.
So this is
sure they were not taking his case because he says it's 3 minutes all we have left to fight for, saying. you keep all your speeches are in terms of 3 minutes, isn't there something else in this system? And it's not quite meant to be himself, but of course he's the example, because at that moment he's losing his job, but he's meaning to say, where are you when it comes to trying to improve the system a little?
But yet that's the way the union is portrayed here, at least. That's the only view we have of it, as being ineffectual and contrary to the teacher's best interests.
In this case, yes. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, have you gotten a response from that, from teachers?
No.
How about
but,
the...
First of all, not that many teachers have seen it yet. The teachers I'm talking about were at the sneak preview. These are just people who came in, obviously interested in seeing it. Now, what can happen over the next couple of weeks? But it's interesting. Usually, because I think back again to a hospital where I thought, boy, are the doctors going to be upset? And they weren't. I mean, it just... They saw a movie and they understood what the movie was trying to say in terms of responsibility, and that it was yes, it was set in the in a hospital, but that it also related to society in general. Again, of having to stay in there and do what to stay in and fight, not just to let things drop away. So.
The sequence in which Nolte takes the young girl to the abortion clinic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Was it ever discussed for there to be an option, a different way of handling that, maybe to have him take the girl to a counselor, or he just does it?
No.
Tell me about the machinery in that sequence. That was part of the script from the word go?
Yes.
Because it does leave him somewhat liable if a court action does come up, I would think, as a teacher myself.
Well, I'm not...
Okay, what he I'm did sure. would yes. leave him culpable if there were to be some sort of a legal action either pressed against
in what
him
sense
or
would
if
it,
he would press
it,
because his responsibilities as a teacher would not include assuming control of a situation like that and assisting her in having an abortion.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously we tried to portray a man who suggested to her that there were others. But you are doing, you are doing a movie and you are doing a drama, and you can't... You obviously can't go into depth on, so you try to do it through each line, having some comment to make on it.
No, you did that so simply too, didn't you?
Yes.
That whole abortion thing was.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Well, with intention. Yes. Well, because it's not a major point of the story. I mean, that's either in the. In all the relationships, or in story terms. So, but yes, it affects the story because it affects him, and yes, because the school board and the school then uses that as the device that was selected for them to be able to put him in quotes on trial.
Mr. Miller, in terms of. You don't have one in a conventional American sense, or you wouldn't have taken this role, methinks.
Given you're getting right to it, getting right down to it. I'll tell you something. You know, I've been working as a director, and I get very, very hungry, homesick to act. I don't have a lot of time for it. I have, pictures I'm finishing. I have pictures in development. And there's a part of myself that's... that really needs to get back to work in acting. The 3 weeks that were required on this film came at the right time for me. It was working with Arthur, who I'd done Plaza Suite with. Was working with Nick and Judd and people who I liked. And for me, it was touching base with something again, which was very important to me. I don't have the luxury of taking on something for a long time in a film. I can't go away and do, you know,
a 6 month shooting.
I can't do that, and I can't go and do the television, you know, those television things overseas, because I'm, you know, by my fingernails that are still bleeding, I'm hanging on to the things that I'm developing as a director. So I can't make the same kind of choices that I made when I wasn't directing. I did this, and I did a little independent film in New York, which came up, which also only needed, you know, 2 weeks. But
film was that?
It's called Billions for Boris, and it was something I could do. You know, I had to stay and edit in the city this summer. And they were doing a film, you know, like on West End Avenue in Central Park West. and that's, you know, I've never been very orthodox about, you know, about what was right or what was wrong or what's good for your career and what's not. You know, I've always done things that that I felt I could do or wanted to do at the time, and I'm making a sacrifice, and it's something I have to do. But what do? Not act at all?
See, it's not a critical thing.
Anyway. No, I understand that, but I'm just saying it as a question. So what do I do? Because it's a smaller part than I've done in film. Do I not take it? I want to. I feel like it, and so I'll do it.
As a result, when you appear as an actress in a film, in view of the fact that you've had so much experience now as a director, do you find yourself wanting to get involved in the direction of your scenes
No,
as well?
But you see, that's what's... It's like a vacation from that. You know, it's you suspend all critical things, and you suspend all, you know, is this good, or is this bad? Acting is just pure involvement. Acting is just involvement. Nothing else is going, you know. And if anything else is going, then you can't act well.
I can understand you wanting to suspend it, but are you able to?
Yeah.
Are you more sympathetic actress as a result of your directing experience?
Am I more sympathetic?
It's just like, you know, when did you stop beating your husband? I mean, it assumes that you were less sympathetic. Yeah, towards the entire environment of making that film.
I certainly understand the difficulties of making a film where I never understood it before. Oh, absolutely. I understand it. I tend to be much more on time than I ever was before I started directing. I really understand what that means, you know, being there on time. I understand it.
What was it that disillusioned you from acting that prompted you to get into directing?
Nothing disillusioned me. For the last 12 years, my husband and I were like, I was acting and developing properties for directing, you know, and it was a question of like hanging on to both. And sometimes I would do a film to subsidize, you know, to act in a film, to subsidize a film I was interested in directing. And a lot of those films fell through, you know. But it was always something that, I mean, in the last 10 years anyway, something that I was interested in doing.
You said you were editing the film. Were you directing the editing, or were you actually editing it?
No, I was not actually. These fingers don't work too well. And to see them, you know, at an editing machine with a Scotch tape. No.
But you were working, like, closely.
With the editor, yeah.
You don't feel you could just leave the editor to go away and leave him with him?
I haven't in any of the things that I've done. In this film, this was a documentary for HBO on transvestites and transsexuals. And this film, more than any that I've done, I've left the editor alone because we have three other films in development. And so I'm working with the writers and hoping to get it to a point where, as you know, the jump between a film being in development and actually having it done is, you know, is always the big jump. So we're working very hard on that.
Why do you think there's so few women directors?
I think it's just a new phenomena, and I think
it's any tougher for a woman to be a director.
Yes, I do. I think it's very tough for a man to be a director, and I think it's about 10 times as tough for a woman. But there have been a couple of successful women's films now: Emmy Hecklinger and Martha Coolidge and Yentl. You know, all, you know, Yentl was terribly bad-mouthed, and it was a very successful film. No? So I find, I left California 3 years ago, moved to New York in order to develop the project. And in going back, and I found a very, very different atmosphere than when I left. They were very interested in working with me. And, but again, you know, I think people have a kind of funny vision, and if they start to see you as a director, then they stop seeing you as an actress. It's like, oh, okay, that's who you want to be. All right, you know. But it's very hard, and I find that people who do work like that, like John Cassavetes and Jenna Rollins and Barbara herself, that her films are self-produced. They develop their own films because people don't know where to put you in a, they can't like place you almost in.
Of course, filmmakers have to know audiences, and I'm curious about your perceptions of the ideal target audience for teachers. What, any particular age group that you think may be most disposed to come to this film?
Gee, I don't know. You would know that better than I would. You know,
Have you ever directed yourself or considered directing yourself?
No.
Why
I
not?
Couldn't do that. Because it's like using two different parts of yourself. The actor's part of yourself is really a non-critical process in which you go into an imaginary situation, and like a crazy person, it becomes real for you. And you can't, you know, exercise any critical faculty. You just have to go through this process.
I'm curious. I couldn't find anywhere the origin of your stage name. Apparently it's clouded in mystery. Was it just arbitrarily chosen, or did you name yourself after
Cary Grant?
Cary
Grant.
Grant.
Cary Grant. Actually, absolutely. You know, my name was Yorba, which, you know, growing up on the street with Yorba, you know. So,
no, I never grew up Yorba.
Well, that's, I know, you see. So Lee came out of, you know, nobody being able to say my name or saying it, you know, Lyova, you know. And so when I started working Grant, and it just came, it didn't, certainly didn't come from the choice of the generals. I know it came because, you know.
Perhaps from government theater or something.
No. It came so that, you know, so that it would be easier to say than Yorba Haskell Rosenthal, you know.
What is more fulfilling to you as an actress, stage work or film work at this point? Because so many of the larger stars of the 60s and 70s are,
you know, to be able to get that work done, you know, in a 2-month time, and not to have to gear yourself up to that performance every single night. I directed theater this year. I did a play for Joe Papp at the Public Theater, which was very, very successful, by a Czech dissident, Václav Havel. And that was a wonderful step for me, because the last theater I did was for Joe Papp. I did Elektra for him.
Is that still your favorite role?
Yeah. And to go back and to direct for him, it was wonderful.